welcome to the Grand Cast, Season 4, Episode 7. It's Spanish for 7. Today is Friday, the 1st of December, in the year of our Lord, 2017. I guess I shouldn't say our Lord, because then I'm presuming who your lordship is. Your being Mr. Will Trotter's lordship, my guest this evening. Thank you for being here, Will.
Thank you for having me. Everyone probably has some kind of God. Or some kind of belief, one another.
One hopes. Or at least I hope. Is that, I don't know, the phrasing of when someone says, like, one hopes, is that imply it's the person saying it? I don't know. That's such a weird phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we don't use that anymore. I'm sorry for using it just then. Confused myself. Well, I like to start out each episode by going over the mission statement and goals, with the mission statement being that the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. Tonight, we'll be having a conversation during which I hope to accomplish two goals. The first goal, I guess this is not going to happen during the conversation, it's to post one new episode weekly.
Are you on track with that?
I'm on track. One is was published yesterday, Mr. Garrett Elzinga.
Mm.
And I have a post already edited and scheduled and good to go for next Thursday. It'll be Megan Elaine.
Oh, very nice.
So I'm on track to maintain one new episode weekly, hopefully through the end of the year, to close out the season. We might have to do two per week towards the end. We'll see. We'll see. And then the second goal is to make at least 3 people's day better through the creation of quality content. That had been 2, briefly went up to 3, and then dropped right back down to 2. But
you're being ambitious.
Yes. I want to say I'm feeling my oats, but I'm not sure of all of the implications of that statement. So, yes, I'm feeling ambitious.
I feel like there's enough people listening that you're making that goal.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Mm-hmm. Although you're going to have to edit that mission in about a month to include 2018.
I won't be doing that, but someone else might be. Stay tuned to find out more on what might be season 5 of the Grand Cast. I don't know. I was going to stop after 4, and probably I'll stop after 4, but things are, maybe there's talks going on.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Might have another wave of new comedic talent enter in Grand Rapids.
Yeah. There might be a new format for the Grand Cast starting in 2018. Follow us on facebook.com/thegrandcast to find out more. Let's get into the interview portion of the show.
Okay.
Will,
mm-hmm.
What is your favorite color?
I would say either a blue or a green. Like an emerald or like sapphire. Shades.
I always thought sapphire was red.
That would be ruby.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
Ah, ruby slippers.
Mm-hmm.
Was there like a sapphire sash or something?
I feel like there'd be some kind of parody out there for that.
Hmm.
Like a whole outfit based on
precious jewels.
Yeah. The closest I can think of is Steven Universe, but that's not.
I don't think I've seen that.
Those are all people.
They're color-based or themed?
Garnet, Sapphire, Topaz.
What's a garnet?
Other gems.
Ah.
Yeah, it's not based on color. It's based on gems, and they transform. I haven't seen much of it either, but...
Garnet sounds really familiar. Is that like one of the crystally things, like an opal or
like I think
a geode kind of?
Yeah, it's in that family. I think that wasn't my major, but
not a geologist.
Nope. Although that interests me at one point.
I have a mineral collection in my parents' basement somewhere. I think that was a popular pursuit for a lot of people.
Have to dig it up at some point.
Yeah. I still have... there's a little feldspar. Cubic feldspar. Fool's gold.
Oh, okay.
Up on my shelf over there. And there's one other one. It's probably behind something.
Mm.
What's the other one? Like bismuth crystal, like crystallized bismuth, but that's man-made. I just thought it looked cool. I don't know.
That's the important thing.
They're not rocks, they're minerals. So emerald or sapphire.
Yeah. I heard you ask this question to other people, and I had this thought where it could be very situational. Like if you're picking out a color for a getaway car, you want one to not be easily described.
Yeah.
That way when the witness is comparing paint swatches, you're getting further down the road.
It's definitely a strong consideration.
Context is important.
Yeah. Did you watch Baby Driver?
I did not.
Oh, you might like that if you're into getaways. And just a great soundtrack.
Okay. Did that recently come out?
Yeah. I think it might have been very end of last year. Maybe not even that long ago. But one of the main characters is Kevin Spacey, so now it's kind of like, eh.
Oh, okay.
Still a very good movie. From the director of the Coronado trilogy, The Shaun of the Dead and...
okay, I was also thinking Boss Baby in that, and I'm like, no, that's something different.
Edgar Wright, I think is his name.
Okay.
Definitely a good movie, worth watching, great soundtrack, very well put together. If you had to be transformed into an animal, which type of animal would you choose to be?
Oh, which type, not just which animal?
Let's do both.
Okay. You know, I'd say reptile. And more specifically, like a tortoise. Like one of those ones that live for like 200 years.
That would be interesting. Would you want to live on Galapagos?
I think it'd be like one of those things where like they migrate like thousands of miles like every year, that kind of thing. Although that does sound like the lazy and better option.
Just stay on an island?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like infinite food.
That would be nice. Living the dream. What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
I want to say it's, it'd be my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd always, like, do, like, weird things just to get a reaction out of people. And before I saw any comedians or listened to any, comedy, it was always, like, the weird things he would do just to get that reaction out of people. And I've kind of done some of those things since I've kind of left the nest. It's, I see some of the things I do and go, yeah, that's probably from him.
Hmm. Do you have any examples of?
Well, one time I bought a Krusty the Clown plush from Goodwill.
Krusted?
Krusty.
Oh, Krusty.
From The Simpsons.
Yes.
And I was meeting with someone at Big Boy right after. And so I ran there holding this 3-foot stuffed toy. And so I could beat my friend there. And right when I walk in, I'm like, table for two, please. Like, just holding him. I was just bored that day. I put him on the other side of the booth as if he's looking at a menu. It was worth the $4.
Oh, yeah. That's a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you first get involved in performing comedy?
Well, I went to Central Michigan University. And at one point, one of my friends was bugging me to see him perform in this group that I wasn't really paying attention. And so I decided to go see what he was talking about. And that's when I met After Hours Improv, which a few people from Grand Rapids are from, Mike, Ryan, Stevie. And after watching their first set of practices and their show that night, I fell in love and just wanted to be involved with that as much as possible.
That brings us nicely to the next prompt of let's talk about After Hours Improv.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that's like a troupe that's officially affiliated with CMU, or it's...
They're not... They're registered as a student organization, but they're not the the improv group that's sponsored by the theater department, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The other group, Trapdoor, is quote unquote the professional improv group. And After Hours is more of the workshop group that helps people get better at improv, puts guidelines to help people improve, and then perform a few times a year. And sometimes we've raised money for charities during the shows, and we hang out during after parties and pretty much most of the time outside of improv.
And you did that for several years?
I was in After Hours Improv for 5.5 years.
Nice. And did they do like shows outside the university?
Yes. For a while they did shows at a church called Wesley, which was a, United Methodist church. It was on campus, but, and then we had a couple shows at, a place called Rubbles, which is a bar downtown. And I believe it was a drunk / charity. I think we raised money for something. It was a few years ago, and I was also drinking that night for the show. So, but yeah, we performed in a couple other places, but most of the time it is strictly on campus.
And when did you first start doing stand-up?
Well, some of the people in After Hours were a part of another group called Joking Around, which was a comedy group. And so I saw some of their stand-up during the first After Hours show. The stand-up went before the improv. And so I tried my hand a little bit and found out that I didn't quite know delivery and thing like minor things like that, and like sharpen up stories.
What is that? Chirping up stories?
What word did I use? Trimming? Just
trimming
just,
up?
Yeah, just getting rid of like information that isn't helping the joke, and it's just making the setup longer.
Okay. So you want a joke to be
More concise.
Tighter? Is that what they call it? Like a tight set? Tight five?
Yeah.
Tight set?
That'd be a good way to put it.
Do you ever go the opposite direction and make the joke really like bloated and long intentionally?
I think through my years and after hours and just doing stand-up, even after joking around Disbanded, I gradually found out what my style was. Like, some people are really good at one-liners, and they can get through a whole 5 to 25 minute set that way. I'm more of the 2 to 5 minute stories, where I pepper in jokes along the way. And that kind of works for me, so I try to write based on how I deliver that.
Do you prefer performing improv or stand-up?
Right now I would have to say improv. As much as I like the idea of stand-up and having things prepared ahead of time, for pretty much half the year I've said that I've needed to write more with no like actual plan in place to do so. So the idea of improv, just being able to go up and have no idea what's going to happen, but knowing that somewhere along the line it's going to be funny, that's a little bit more appealing right now.
Are you looking to join a improv troupe, or are you in any improv troupes right now?
I am not currently in any groups in Grand Rapids. I've been sometimes doing the workshop that Tom has set up.
At 9 p.m. every Monday at Dog Story Theater?
Correct. I do also have an idea for an improv group that I'd like to pursue starting in 2018. I called the idea Sunshine Gentleman. And it's based on the idea of Florida Man.
Oh.
Because a lot of crazy stories come from Florida.
Yeah.
So I wanted to create an improv group where we represented Florida Man, assuming it's the same guy in every story. And that he's just this misunderstood person in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then either get a suggestion for, based on like things that he might have done, like he stole something, what did he steal, and what weapon did he use. It's like Florida Man robs bank with pool noodle, and either like get that suggestion from the audience or look at stories from Florida Man and just pick out the ones that seem interesting.
I'd like to watch that.
We were going to sign up for Griff, but we missed the deadline.
Oh. Maybe next year.
Yep.
The Grand Rapids Improv Festival. Every year, GrandRapidsImprovFestival.com. For watching, do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy?
I think I would have to say improv again. It all depends on who's up for stand-up. Because if you've heard them too much before, or if it's someone that you know isn't the best and they have no effort to get better, then it's just that one person up there. If you're not sure what the sketch is about, or it just comes off as weird or not the way that they wanted it to come out as, it's only that idea on stage. But with improv, a scene could be sinking and someone could come in as another character and turn it around. There seems to be different moments where that can happen. So I'd base my answer that way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What is a good movie that you've watched recently?
I don't watch too many movies, to be honest. Kimmy, Sean, Stevie, and a few other people, we were planning on going seeing The Disaster Artist tomorrow.
Ah, nice.
Apparently it's only open in so many theaters, though.
Oh.
So not around here.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm a huge fan of bad movies. But I think offhand, I'd want to say Kung Fury.
Kung Fury?
Yeah.
What's that about?
It is kind of like an 80s cop type of movie. It's only 30 minutes long, and it's on YouTube.
Mm.
I guess they were trying to get a Kickstarter for it, and they only got enough to make a half an hour. But honestly, that's all they needed.
Yeah. Because
there is a lot of nonsense. There's Hitler in it. Oh. And at one point calls himself Kung Fuhrer. David Hasselhoff does the music for it.
Oh, excellent.
It's a well worth 30 minutes to spend.
Free on YouTube?
Yes.
There you go. And what is a good streaming show that you've watched recently?
Now I feel bad. I don't watch a lot of TV either.
No.
I
maybe Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, HBO.
I still watch Survivor.
Oh.
That's pretty much the main show that I watch.
What season is that?
35.
35?
Yeah.
It's prolific.
Mm-hmm. They're I feel like they're just running out of islands to go to at this point.
Have they gone to Madagascar yet?
I don't think they have.
Oh.
I don't think they have.
There you
They've been like all of the main places that people know of.
Hmm.
So it's, yeah, that would be a good idea for a season.
There's a bit of the plague going on there now, so probably hold off a little bit.
So it'd be kind of like hard mode?
Yeah. Maybe that would make it better. High stakes Survivor. I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There used to be another like show called The Mole, which was really good.
Was that Anderson Cooper? Am I thinking of a different one?
It might have been. Like, it's been off for a while, but it was like 20 people are trying to win these challenges and are slowly voted off, or not voted, but one of them is a mole hired by the network.
Huh.
And the person who's farthest off every week from guessing who the mole is out.
Huh.
Yeah, because the mole's just trying to sabotage.
I remember that
coming
out. Maybe it wasn't Anderson Cooper. For some reason, that jumped out at me.
Mm. No, I know who you're talking about, and I'm like, is that? But
it might just look kind of like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I pretty much just watch animes.
Was it an Australian dude?
I think so.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, it was. It wasn't Anderson Cooper, but it was someone who kind of... Maybe Australian Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper? I'm sorry. Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Sean. Sorry, Matt. I shouldn't do voices.
Yeah, it's fun to try.
Yeah. Sometimes.
People who are good at voices didn't start off good.
You just got to practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
It's always weak when you start out, but you get stronger and better. I think some people are just like naturally better at certain voices too. So maybe you have to try a bunch to find one that you're good at.
You got to find your range.
Yeah. Let's talk about extreme couponing.
I knew that one was coming. I was kind of excited about this one. When I first joined After Hours Improv, the president at the time, Pat Hoban, made fun of me for always having a coupon for whatever restaurant we went to after practice.
Made fun of you?
Yeah, like...
For saving money?
I know. It's insane. Called me one of those crazy couponers, like, on the show, because that's when it was out.
It was a TV show?
Yeah, they had a TV show for a while where these ladies would just, like, clear the whole store and only pay, like, $20. And I liked that idea. But I guess I'm also a little bit lazy, so I wanted to try to find a different style for it. But as soon as Pat made fun of me for it, I'm like, how far can I take this? Like, how can I yes and this? And so I started off and I found like a few policies like for Walmart and places that I could get a lot of stuff for free and sometimes even get paid for stuff.
By using coupons?
Yes.
Like you get the stuff and you get money?
Yep.
How does that work?
So Walmart, and I'm not sure if they still have it, but they had a policy where if you had, for example, a coupon for $1
mm-hmm.
and you used it on an item that's only 50 cents, Walmart would pay you that difference in cash.
Oh.
And the first time I had to try this theory, it was kind of it almost seemed risky because the first item was women's pads.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like get paid 75 cents per box. And I tried it. It was like one of those weird things that if it doesn't work, it's a story.
Definitely.
And so the first time I got like 30 boxes and got paid $20.
What did you do with the feminine hygiene products?
Well, I was still getting rides to and from practice for after hours. So I was just like, I don't have gas money and this is going to sound weird, but, and like when I handed them off, I'm like, I don't know what they are. Just take them. I'm like, thanks for the ride. But
you have any sisters?
I do.
Oh,
a younger one, but she lives on the other side of the state.
Ah, my sisters used to throw feminine hygiene products at me.
Oh,
still in the package, but still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that sounds very traumatic.
It was, but not as traumatic as it could have been, I suppose.
Right. There was one year. I moved into a new apartment. I garbage picked a beautiful dresser, and my goal was to just fill it. And I did with like hundreds of cans of shaving cream.
Oh.
Hundreds of containers of dog food.
Did you have a dog?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I ended up selling all of those things.
Sure.
By the end of it. Sometimes for more than like the retail price of the, like at Walmart. Well, it's like I would sell like the things for like $1 and then the coupon itself would pay me. So that price total would be more than the.
Okay.
Yeah. So it felt a lot more fun than having a job.
For sure. What was the best deal you ever got doing that?
I bought 54 Elme eye makeup removers.
Huh.
And I got paid $150.
Just from the coupons?
Yes.
And then what, you sold the makeup remover also?
Yeah. Yep. And honestly, that was my car insurance payment that month. Yeah. I would not have had otherwise.
It's a nice chunk of change.
Mm-hmm. Couponing has literally saved me a couple times.
You still do it?
No. Companies have caught on a little bit more, so it's harder to really get things that way.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I still have like 100 cans of cat food up at Central that I left my last roommate.
That's a lot of cat food. Which leads us nicely into the next statement, let's talk about cats versus dogs.
Okay. I'll be nice because I know you're a dog person.
I like all animals.
I feel like you lean towards one. I can't quite put my finger on why.
I don't know. I think I like cats and dogs equally. I don't think cats are as funny.
That's fair. I feel like as a challenge, you should go out there one time and just pull a switch, just start doing cat jokes just to confuse everyone.
Huh. Yeah, I've thought about trying to get someone else to do my cat counterpart.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But I don't have a good name for it yet. Without becoming maybe a little bit too blue.
Yeah.
But maybe doggy style's tasteless enough that it wouldn't matter to have some sort of pussy reference. I don't know if that's offensive.
No. It's definitely worth brainstorming.
Yeah. Maybe one day. And what, you prefer cats?
Yeah, we've had cats all my life. And the one or two times we had a dog, it seemed like a lot more work.
Yeah.
And personality-wise, I feel like cats,
they are strong personalities.
Yeah.
You have one cat now? Two cats?
Right now I have one, but my roommate also has one. And I'm actually moving out in a few weeks.
Oh. So
for the first time in 3 years, my cat Carl won't have a roommate.
Oh. You gonna leave Netflix on for him or something?
I'm not sure what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have to figure that out.
I was at a vet office the other day. I work in vet offices. And they had it wasn't a fresh kitten, but it was a pretty young cat that was deaf. It was the office cat.
Mm.
And it liked to watch TV. So they would put a video loop on the computer of chipmunks running around or birds flying around, and the cat just sat there and watched it for hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Who knew? And then I tried to pet it, not knowing it was deaf, so it didn't hear me approaching it. It got startled, and I felt bad about startling it.
Yeah. There's always that moment where you accidentally do something that ends up hitting the cat or dog or whatever, and you're like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just kind of make up for that accident.
Yeah. I got over it. I went right back to the chipmunk video. What is comedy to you?
I think it's just the whole idea of entertaining and making people smile, whether it's to a whole group of people or whether it's just a one-on-one conversation with someone who's feeling down. I feel that it's needed to kind of survive.
It's you can either laugh or cry, and one of them's more fun than the other.
For sure.
If you knew for absolute certain that 1 year from now humanity would go extinct, how would you spend that time?
And only I know?
Because
I remember Stevie asking this too.
Yeah, how would you like to answer it?
I could do both. I feel like if it was both. Everyone knows, then there would be riots and looting and just pandemonium. So it's really just trying to find a safe place to kind of go.
It'd be like a year of the purge.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that wouldn't be good. But if it was just me, I think I would try to spend as much time with family and friends as possible and not care how much debt I'm going into.
Yeah, if it's all done in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let's talk about treasure hunting or yard sailing. I don't know how to describe it correctly, but
yeah, I think the overarching term is called flipping.
Flipping. Let's talk about flipping.
Okay. So there was one year I was stuck up at Central for the summer. I didn't have a car. And I was starting a job at the casino. And because it was storming that day, I couldn't ride my bike. And the taxi wasn't picking up.
Oh. Is this pre-Uber?
I think so. Or I just was not smart enough to think to get that. And so I obviously did not keep that position.
Oh, that was at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan?
Yes. I believe I was supposed to be a server's assistant at a buffet, which I don't... What do you even do?
It's the number one resort destination in mid-Michigan for concerts, gambling, and more.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved going to the casino there. But that day, I was trying to figure out how I was going to survive the summer. And so when I saw that it had calmed down, the weather, I walked to Goodwill. And I think I found something there for like $5 that turned into like $55 on eBay.
Oh.
And so I thought, well, I'm doing the couponing. Let's see if I can do something with this.
You remember what it was?
I think it was a pair of headphones.
Ah.
It was a small pair, but I think it was just that particular brand that even a small pair would go for a lot.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. I went to garage sales, Salvation Army and Goodwill were both within walking distance. Just trying to find what I could and learn from the flipping subreddit and different podcasters on the subject to try to coast.
Are there any podcasts that you recommend on the topic?
The one I listen to the most is called Scavenger Life. Hmm. They are a husband-wife couple from Virginia, I believe. And they sell about $2,000 a week.
$2,000 a week? $100,000 a year?
Just about, yeah.
But does that include like the what they spend to buy the items?
No, I think that's just... But they spend pennies.
Hmm.
They also have an Airbnb property now.
Ah. That reminds me of... What's the show? There's two guys. They go around to like old people's houses and ask to go through all their stuff to find valuable stuff.
That would be American Pickers.
That's the one... You ever watch that?
I used to. It does bug me a little bit just because they kind of push people into selling their mementos and like some people have so much stuff that the stuff that they take, it's not. And sometimes they go off leads, but other times they find this old person who seems kind of confused, and they
rob them.
It almost seems like they're taking advantage. And I feel like anyone watching the show would be extremely upset at the end when it shows stop sign, bought for 25, sold for 500. Here's our profit in like big giant green letters.
Yeah.
And numbers.
But I guess it's good for people to become educated that that type of thing's going on.
Sure. I think it also helps people see the alternative of, like, instead of throwing something to the curb, finding out how much they can get out of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird old stuff that's worth a bunch of money. You watch other shows like that? You ever watch, like, the auction or storage unit auction shows?
I did watch Storage Wars for a little while. But that turned into, like, too much of, like, the same drama that you get on every TV show.
Yeah.
And I feel like after shows like that come up, there's just a flood of people in that area.
Oh, yeah.
There was another show. I can't even remember what network it was on, but it was called Auction Kings.
Oh, yeah.
And they would go more into the history of the items and only at the end auction it off.
Hmm. I think I remember that one. I watched like all of them. It was so good. And you watch pawn shop shows?
I watched Pawn Stars for a little bit. They had a little bit more history with it. It got weird when they decided to try to put a storyline in it.
Yeah.
When am I going to be partner, Dad? Well, I'm... Over here is a Rolex. Like... there was also one based in Detroit called Hardcore Pawn.
Oh, yeah.
That one was just sad.
Kind of, yeah.
The first episode had a stripper pole.
The lady was demonstrating it?
Yeah, and everyone who worked there, they almost looked like the Bernsteins. They just seemed like this shady family that... all were ready to like backstab each other and not just because they were on TV.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Are you still actively flipping?
Sometimes. Whenever I'm up in Mount Pleasant, there's a certain store called Merchandise Outlet, and that always has a couple gems in it.
Hmm.
It's basically a Big Lots, but it's local. They only have like 6 locations. And when it's garage sale season, for sure. There are websites out there that show you exactly which neighborhood is having their weekend garage sales.
Huh. Yeah, it seems like it'd be fun. You mostly sell on eBay then, or do you go like Craigslist or?
Most of it's on eBay. Like everything I go for is small enough to ship. And so it's easier just to not have to meet the person to like kick tires, to check, to see like condition and try to negotiate down. Cause there are a lot of people out there like that.
Yeah, there are.
It's just easier just to ship it and never see who the person is. But the Facebook groups are also a good place to sell things. The yard sale groups.
Oh, you can just post stuff for sale and... Huh.
Yep.
Like the Facebook Marketplace, or it's a different...
I've never really experienced Marketplace. I started doing it back when it was like Grand Rapids area garage sales, and it'd only be within like a certain... radius, and it's only people in the group, and somehow there'd be drama in those groups. But yeah, sometimes like, and I need to check out Marketplace a little bit more. It's pretty much, it's probably the same thing. It just takes away the need for creating groups.
Hmm. Yeah, I see it pop up sometimes, but I've never really checked it out.
You can get deals. They're out there.
What does it mean to be a comedian?
I think it's just the attempt to genuinely make someone happy or smile through the content and material that you create. If you're just doing it to bolster yourself or to just try to get bigger, if you're not thinking about an audience or whoever you're delivering it to, then that's when it gets into pandering. But yeah, it's making a genuine effort to make someone's day or week or whatever a little bit brighter.
Thank you.
Yep.
Who are some of your role models?
I feel like a lot of them are just some of the friends and people around me that are doing comedy, that are doing a lot of awesome things and are just working really hard at it. Like, between Aaron Becca, Sean, everyone in, like, all the different, like, everyone's in, like, three or four improv troupes and finding the time to do that, and it's really inspiring. Kimmy, for sure, whenever she does a unique performance, like, Who Wants a Glass of Chocolate Milk? Or Let's Just Have a Conversation. It's very awesome to see.
Are you going to go out for the new play that she co-wrote?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there for that.
I think that's coming up soon at the Fusebox. Talk to Kimmy for more information. Let's talk about Pokemon Go.
Okay. I think I got into it like a month or two after the initial like craze when it first came out. And I say that most of the time I just use it as an excuse to get out and walk around more. But the show initially came out when I was 10 and the main character was 10 and it was pretty much my childhood. So it gets a little bit boring after a while. Like once you've caught like everything, once you've like gotten to a certain point, they don't have enough to do, it seems. So I definitely don't check it as often. But it was certainly a cool thing to do for one summer before I got to meet and become friends with so many awesome people.
Which team are you on?
Blue, so Mystic.
It's the best team. In my opinion,
I've had this idea that they should give everyone the opportunity to change teams just once.
Oh.
But they add Team Rocket.
Ooh. See who's really evil?
Yeah.
It'd be like the people who root for the Empire in Star Wars. I don't get that.
You know, sometimes it's just easier to root for the villain in general because villains are a lot more interesting. Most of the time, heroes are just, let's stop this evil, and they're very two-dimensional. And that's why usually people are more of a fan of, like, Iron Man over Superman, because there's character flaws. It's more of an anti-hero type of thing. Like, he's still good, but...
Are they... Have you heard anything about Gen 3? Is that soon?
I don't know. The Ghost have come out for Gen 3?
Was that part of the Halloween promotion?
Yeah. And I would think that they'd have more coming out in around Christmas, but... I haven't paid enough attention to the announcements.
Yeah. What level are you?
I think 33.
33. I'm still 29. Trying to get to that 30 mark.
Yeah, there's one person from one of my groups that he's like level 40.
Wow.
But he could easily be probably in the like 45, 46-ish. Range based on his just his experience.
Oh yeah, because it's capped at 40, right?
Yeah, and he has a whole like legendary army, because instead of writing his dissertation, he is out all the time doing raids.
Oops.
Yep.
Oh well, I had two of my four college roommates failed out of school because of World of Warcraft.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are they at least streaming and making some money out of it?
No, this was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Way before any streaming happened.
Way before being a nerd was could pay off.
Yeah, it was a very expensive lesson in video game addiction, but
right, because that game cost money, too. Like, there were other games that were similar to it that didn't cost money. I mean, I played RuneScape.
People still play RuneScape.
I know. I don't know why, but...
People still play WoW, too. Like, yeah. A lot of them. I don't know.
No, lately
everybody's
I've been,
got their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Lately, I've been watching streams of League of Legends. I've never played the game. I never will. I don't know why I'm watching.
Yeah, sometimes I'll do that too on Twitch, just start watching a game that's so repetitive. Lately, it's been Fortnite, which is a battle royale.
Oh.
Like, last person surviving wins. But the games, it's just the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
Like,
My friend was streaming, and I'm like, are there any other levels? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's the same stage. It's like, is there like a more mountainous region? Is there like an ocean type level or beachside? Like,
at least have it look different if the gameplay is the same.
But... Right. You're playing 30-minute games. You're staring at that level all day.
Yeah. But it's addictive, like the way it's structured, and I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of characters to choose from, and different people, different skill levels, so I get that.
It's arguably better than other addictions.
Depending.
Yeah.
Depending. It's all about how far you take it. Like, if you're talking about, like, heroin or that, yeah, the game is a better addiction, but if you're spending every dime, including what you could have spent on rent...
Yeah...
If you're just, like, playing so much that you don't have a social life, I mean, yeah.
Yep. Oh, well.
Yep.
Capitalism. It's great. Or something.
Or something.
You've been pretty open about going to the gym regularly. What's that like?
Well, for the longest time... I joined the gym a year ago, August, and the whole idea was to get in shape. And I was starting to do that, but it's been kind of stagnant. And every time I went to the gym, it was just cardio, because all the good-looking people were at the weights, and I didn't know how to use those machines. So it was easier just to run or use the elliptical. But a few months ago, I joined a fitness group where we've actually gone through workouts as a whole group, and it's been a very good learning experience.
How the different machines work and yep. the right way to use them so you don't hurt yourself.
And how to put them together into a coherent workout.
Nice.
And so I've ran a 5K this year. In the last 3 months, I've gone 43 times.
Wow.
So about 14 times a month.
Very nice. What's your favorite machine?
I don't even know the name of it. I asked once, and I the person told me, but basically it's for abs. You stand on it, and it's high enough to where you're off the ground, and you just like lift your legs or you lift your knees up to like 90 degrees, and then you go back down.
I think I know what one you're talking about.
Yeah, it doesn't have a name on it, but.
What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
Oh, man, there are so many good restaurants.
Yeah, we're lucky.
I know. Well, man, be easier to break it up into categories.
Go for it.
Like, my favorite Chinese food is at a place called Yi Wang. I finally remembered the name of it because it's just this hole-in-the-wall place on the corner of Eastern and Burton. And they have what I think is the best crab rangoon. As far as pizza, you have Grand Rapids Delivery Pizza.
GRPD?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Grand Rapids Pizza Delivery. There's Two Beards, which is my go-to.
Fantastic deli.
Yes, they are.
Same owners as Cherry Deli.
I've never actually been to the Cherry Deli, but...
It's very similar.
Sure.
Better soda selection, though, in my opinion.
That's fair. That's fair, because there's really nothing at Two Beards.
But you shouldn't drink soda very frequently, so maybe... Two Beards has my favorite sandwich of the two.
Which one is your favorite?
I think it's the Andre 3000.
Okay.
It's a... I don't know if it's vegetarian or vegan, but I replace the vegetarian or vegan bacon with real bacon, and then it's great. It's like Cajun tofu and avocado and nice wheat bread. I think it's the Andre 3000.
Okay. Yeah, like after a while, you just like see it on the menu and you just go with it. Like for me, it's the George Clooney.
What's on that one?
Turkey, bacon. I want to say cheddar jack. Cheese. Like a garlic herb mayo and an onion. I get it without the lettuce and tomato because I'm only trying to pretend to be healthy.
I don't think lettuce is really healthy at all on most sandwiches. I don't know about tomato.
Yeah.
Antioxidants or something?
I don't even know why I don't like tomato. I should.
I don't know what oxidants are.
Oh, what other restaurants are there out there? Now, one friend and I are addicted to some of the Froyo places around here.
Frozen yogurts?
Mm-hmm.
Quite tasty. Not a lot of calories. Big plus.
Well, unless you add like every single topping imaginable they have there.
Yeah.
Spoon Liquors has like these mini s'mores.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to avoid that.
And then my favorite coffee place is the Bitter End.
On Fulton. Down by Fulton Street Pub?
Yep. Great place for coffee, terrible place for first dates, based on the name.
Open 24 hours?
Yes, one of the few places in Grand Rapids, for now.
For now.
For now. They're growing, so let's hope. But they have an ice cream mocha there that is this blended Frappuccino-type drink, and it's amazing.
Sounds tasty. Oh, I need to mention that there's a Groupon for Cottage Bar right now. What? Where you can get 30% off a $50 gift card. Quite a deal if you go to Cottage regularly. I don't know if it's still going by the time this episode's published, but take a look at Groupon.com.
So a $50 gift card for $35.
Indeed. What a deal.
Yeah. I'd say so. As kind of a somewhat expert on savings.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
I think it's all about the reaction. Sometimes I'm wanting the general laughter. Sometimes with some of the material I do that's a little bit dark, I'd like to have that smart joke where they're like, oh, and then kind of laugh. I try not to be like too edgy or like too... I try to filter it so it doesn't... So it's still punching up, if that's the correct term for it.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite thing about watching comedy?
I think my favorite thing is when a comedian or an improv scene takes a turn that you weren't expecting. Because something that catches you off guard just evokes a bigger reaction, I feel.
Yeah.
Like when you're thinking, oh, they're going this way with the joke, and it just, by the end of it, you're like, wow, that was not, I can't think of any good examples, sadly, but.
Subverting people's expectations. I like the comedy vocabulary. It's one of my favorite things about watching comedy. Learning that type of thing. The final question of the interview portion of the show. If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
One thing.
One thing.
I don't want this to sound sad, but I'd say it gets better. Like, back then it was everyone in high school, you know, typical high school people are kind of cruel to each other sometimes. And
yeah,
just the idea of, like, when I finally got to Central and met After Hours, I met a weird group of people with awesome senses of humor, and then to come down here and meet even more amazing people that I get to spend like years with, telling like strange jokes and like actually feeling that sense of belonging. That would have been really nice to know that was on the horizon.
Thank you. And I haven't had time yet to set up a transition into the break. So if you wouldn't mind, please doing some sort of musical or other type of performance, and then ring one of the bells to let me know that you're done.
Okay. I heard this squeaky toy during one of your previous interviews.